Hello and welcome. Welcome. We still have Corinne. This is part two of our conversation that is carried on from last week. Welcome, Corinne. We are having a conversation right now about handling everything that is going on in the world, waking up, what we've done to cope, the beauties and the blessings that we've discovered through this experience. And then we're going to carry on this conversation because we didn't even get to what we wanted to start talking about, did we?
No.
So we're going to start talking about that too. So again, I'm just going to have you jump right in and if you can, if you're game, can you carry on where we left off? Just kind of go back just a little and catch up.
Okay. Yeah, we were last talking about the main thing was COVID, and you know, when that happened and the chaos in the world and learning to step back and trust God and hear his voice. I think those of us who heard his voice and where he was saying, just trust me, it's going to be good. This is what has to happen. And I remember thinking, you know, why, but like, why, you know, but as more unfolded, you could see God's plan. You could see all the different things that were happening and the purpose behind it. And, you know, we hoped and prayed that it would be quicker, you know, because there was a lot of things, you know, the big concern is our children and the innocent people in the world, animals. I mean, there's so much harm that's being caused to everyone. But it's the children and their future and, you know, what's going to happen if we can't fix this, you know, and staying in trust with God and keeping that faith is where it's going to get fixed. That's the only way it's going to get fixed, because there's so much. I mean, if you look right now in the world, Satan is everywhere. I mean, they're not even hiding it. They've got
it. I know. I can't believe, like, again, I don't want to name any names. We don't want to, because we're on YouTube too. So we have to be careful. But, you know, there's a lot of famous singers out there that have all the satanic clothing. They're doing it for children. They've got bloody shoes. There's, you know, the Super Bowls the last 5 years. There's the rituals that are happening during concerts. There's all sorts of chaos that, you know, in the name of art, right? Mm-hmm. Or spirit, they say, cooking art. And I just, you know, and I guess for those, I mean, I did do a testimony on L.A. Marzulli's channel. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that was, a few months ago, maybe. But where I talked about my personal testimony when Jesus was present in my face, like, oh my gosh. And I totally finally understood who God really was. Right. And then again, we were talking about on the first episode, when we started this conversation, how, when God opens a path, how the devil comes in and attacks. And, you know, and I talk about that on there too. So, you know, you can go ahead and watch that. Maybe if I remember, I'll link that in the links below. You can just tag it and watch it and give him some love too, because he's a wonderful man of God.
Well, what was the name of the episode?
Egyptian. I'll link it.
Okay.
And then, so those of you who haven't watched it, essentially, you know, I spent 22 years searching for God. And during that search, I went on a lot of primrose paths along the way. And I, you know, got into a whole bunch of stuff, kept an open mind and got a little bit lost along the way. Thank God, God always had his hand on me. But essentially, you know, so many things happened. And I just don't think that. So I just don't think that people truly understand how swept away you can get when your hunger is there, but you don't have, you know, a spiritual leader to guide you. If your family's not strong in faith and they don't hold you, you know, I know, Corinne, you've talked about how that really, that foundation has kept you secure in many ways, you know?
Yes.
I just, you know, when you're hungry and you don't have a foundation, it's hard to even put words to how swept away you can get. And I think that people have a hard time who are genuinely hungry and have a love, a deep, beautiful love, but they don't know the truth, right? Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from somebody who was adamantly in different philosophies about what that truth was, that it's not out of malice or stubbornness. You really truly believe that you're doing the right thing, and it's very logical. And there's supernatural evidence that supports your theories. And so it's really hard to snap out of that false narrative when you're in it. And I'm not here to like cast stones on anybody or blame anybody, because I think we're all on this organic path to our truth. And I know that even though I wish it would have been a faster journey and not 22 years of my life, I know that God is patient and He is kind, and He knew that's how long it took me to get where I needed to go to wake up. Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly not going to judge anybody else who takes longer or shorter, you know, if that's their journey. I'm not here to say that, but I can say that I know that there's a lot of really beautiful, sweet, big hearts out there who have legitimate evidence that proves to them in their mind, but it's really a false light that's creating and supporting their theories. Mm-hmm. And had God not had shown up the way that He did for me, I wouldn't have been able to decipher the difference. But when when you're in His presence, like, you can't deny the other stuff that you think it feels like. It's not like, you know, I'm a 70s baby, so I always think of like that commercial. It's not live, it's Memorex. Remember? Mm-hmm. Remember the tape recorder where they'd play and you didn't know if it was the person really talking and you're in the same room or if it was the recording? Well, that's how real it feels. It feels like it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the live version. It's not this, and maybe that's not a good example because it's the same person talking, but you know, one is a copy and one is the original.
Yeah.
And the original is pure truth, pure love, all omnipresence, full and complete, where this is just a 2D replica, an imprint that isn't the full embodiment of that voice, right?
Yeah. You
know, so it's really easy to be lost if you don't have evidence. And ironically, during my search, I actually found God by searching satanic ritual abuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, how bizarre is that, right? Mm-hmm. So looking at the most corrupt in depth of humanity is what that perversion is, what snapped me into being able to call out in an earnest way for God and God showing up, you know. And I felt that shivering in my bones, the deep fear. Cause I mean, all the things that I've gone through, which someday I'll write a book, I promise. I've been told that from 100 people. But you know, you get desensitized, right, Corrine? When you go through a lot of trauma, like, you know, I know that, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but I know that you had enough trauma in your life that, you know, you get desensitized from it and you can tolerate trauma. It's like, you know, a jailer working in a prison, after a while, you can be swore at, kicked at, spit at, and it doesn't affect you the way it did maybe that first initial shock of your first shift, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, you get a thicker skin, you build an endurance, you get desensitized or disassociated. And until that presence shows up, like, or I'm sorry, when I'll go back a little, when I saw that depth of that humanity, you know, it chilled me to my bone. And there's not a lot of things that could do that to me. Mm-hmm. But when it chilled me to my bone and like my whole soul shivered, really.
Yeah.
I know in that same spark, I called out to Jesus, like a child, like, you gotta come in here and protect me as I'm a witness to this ghastly perversion of violence and horrible, horrific, you know, no words for what it was. And in that moment, like, I was vulnerable enough. And I really, like, God says, come to him as a child. I know that I actually, in that moment, was coming to him as a child. And he had that opportunity to show up for me. And then I knew God. Like, I knew him. I could just cry. Because before, I always, throughout all the years, I always was a very strong, enthusiastic cheerleader of Jesus. Like, I always had him in my life. I always talked about how Jesus could create miracles and how he was a beautiful presence in my life and how, you know, he stood, what he stood for and how beautiful he was. But I didn't know him, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know him. I knew what I had thought of him.
Yeah.
But when he showed up, I felt him in my heart, in my soul, and I knew in my mind who he was. And that changed everything for me. And then I had the discernment to know when it was him and when it wasn't.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be fooled anymore.
Yeah. And what you,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, no, but what you,
I was actually just going to invite you to, like, now speak about that, because I know you have things to say.
Yeah. Well, I do, because you brought up a really good point. And that is, you know, you always knew about Jesus. You always wanted desperately to know him. But, you know, even when you weren't, you know, if you weren't even raised in a Catholic or whatever church, any kind of church, doesn't really matter. But the churches failed us. I mean, they did not teach us about Jesus. I mean, you know, in the Catholic church, they would do Bible verses and they would say different stuff, but it was never really teaching you to know Jesus or to know or understand the Bible or to really understand his word or what it meant. I mean, I remember looking at the Bible going, I could take this so many different ways and I really don't understand. And, you know, and then you would just get little snippets of it. But when you get little snippets of it, you can't put it together. But when you start to understand God's language, and when you really start to understand to the distortion of everything and the distortion of words, you know, that it all changes everything. Even just a simple word as the or by, or, you know, just those small little words can change a whole meaning. And, you know, so, but we were never taught to really seek Jesus or to understand Jesus or to understand the Bible in the way, you know, the way that in the last few years, the way you and I have really been looking at it. And, you know, I just, it makes me very sad to know that there's so many things that I could have avoided or known or learned or understood many years ago had the churches showed us and taught us the way they were supposed to.
But, you know, when I researched that too, Corrine, like the seminaries, they don't teach the pastors. For sure. Yeah. I've heard horror stories about what priests have gone through, you know, and, you know, when you go way down the rabbit hole, you know that the Vatican, I'm not saying Catholics, but the Vatican and the head of the church is very satanic.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just shocks everywhere. I mean, everywhere you work, you're walking on a landmine of shocking, shocking truths, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, you were brought up Catholic. You were brought up in a very Christian home that loved Jesus. You prayed, your family encouraged it. Like it was a staple in your home.
Yes.
You know, and you were Catholic. So I'm not saying all Catholics are evil or don't believe in God, but I'm saying is that, you know, at the head of the church, there is an illusion about who they're really worshiping. I'll never forget that I was watching YouTube a couple years ago, and it was a holiday. You know, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know all the terms, but it was some sort of holiday service. And it wasn't the Pope, but it was somebody pretty high up who had on the whole
white cardinal or something.
yeah, a cardinal of some kind. And they had on the whole Dogon hats, mm-hmm. you know. And he was singing in Latin. And I remember, like, I was just watching something else, actually. And it was one of those things, like, it automatically plays and puts on a different something they think you're going to be interested in. And I'd been doing so much research that it ended up putting on this Catholic service. And all of a sudden I was just doing, like, I was dusting or something. And it just stopped me in my tracks. I was like, did that cardinal or whomever it was just say praise Satan in Latin? Cause I don't know. I mean, I've never been schooled in Latin, but I was like, I swear that's what I just heard. And I rewound it. And sure enough, I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and I was dumbfounded, like, A, that they had the audacity to do it in service and then air mm-hmm. it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, how blatant do you have to be?
But that's how they do everything. And they will say it. And then you kind of go, no.
Well, and that's just because, you know, I mean, well, think about it. You and I know
mm-hmm.
that part of how we've been trapped in this is because if you're not evil in your core, right? If you weren't mm-hmm. brought up in a family where there was ritual abuse, or, you know, you weren't a part of, like, an organization that surrounds itself worshiping Lucifer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, chances are you have a pretty good heart, even if you're not Christian. Chances mm-hmm. are your heart is pure. Like I said earlier on, either earlier on this episode or the one part one that we did, you know, and then you would never think in a million years that someone could be that awful.
Yeah.
You know, why would you even consider that? It wouldn't be in your radar because that's something you would never do.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I was doing a psychology study. Let's see if I can remember without digressing too much here. There was a psychology study once, and now I'm going to mess it up just because we're on an episode of that. But, I remember, gosh, I can't, I'm going to have to paraphrase. So forgive me. This is not accurate, but this is to best of my understanding and remembrance. But, you know, the person, was doing the study, and what they discovered was the psychology test or whatever was doing the study. And what they discovered was, is that if it's not something that you would do, mm-hmm. like it doesn't register for mm-hmm. like 90% of the population. So mm-hmm. it's like, whatever you would never do, you assume that everyone else would never do. And how they did this study with these examples that of course are not coming to me right now, but it was a very interesting study. I'll see if I can find it and I'll plug that into the comments if I can locate it, because it was really fascinating. And it really talked about the human condition and mm-hmm. and how we can see how we've been snookered just because we have kind hearts. We're out to, like, we hope for the best for people. We want happiness for, you know, the people that we love, and we hope for good things and people that we know. We don't wish for bad things. We're not excited by evil. We don't relish when people get hurt or, you know, things go on. And, you know, speaking of what we were talking about before on mass hypnosis, like, if you think about it, what are the type of humor that was pushed on us in, like, the 70s and 80s? It was all people getting hurt, like America's Funniest mm-hmm. Videos.
Yeah.
It was all physical comedy,
mm-hmm.
right? People tripping, like Dick Van Dyke falling down, or uncomfortable situations like Carol Burnett or mm-hmm. Lucille Ball. We had the kind of humor, you know, that we were exposed to. I mean, I still find it really funny to this day, that kind of humor. But that's because that was what I was brought up with, right? Doesn't mm-hmm. mean that I would want anything bad to happen to somebody, but for whatever reason, when it's somebody you don't know, Joe Schmo from Kokomo, you know, gets a baseball to his groin mm-hmm. and he makes a funny face, we all giggle. But if it was your son or your husband, you probably wouldn't be laughing. You'd be going,
well, because pathetic. But they played it off like it didn't hurt. Yeah.
That's my point. You know, like they make the going noises and they make it funny. And it's, but it, what I'm saying is it's this subtle psychology to get us to not get reactive. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you could pick apart every single aspect of society, of media, of government, of Medicaid, you know, every single thing that you could possibly consider. We could pick it apart, and at its root, it's the same thing. We're going to find the same thing, that it's a slow decline in having us be engaged, connected into community, having us understand and take care of ourselves and our fellow man, having good wishes, well wishes for our fellow man. You know, it's just, it's kind of crazy. And then, you know, if you think about it again, going back to the five generation theory, you know, they would have barn buildings. They would have, they block off the street and have parties and potlucks and cookouts and, you know, all these sort of things. And it was all community based. You know, you knew your community, everybody knew you. You know, if you had a fire, this is back before fire trucks, everybody would grab buckets and run to your house to save your home, you know, because they knew that, you know, if dad got a broken leg doing something with the ox, plowing the field, Joe Schmo from Kokomo would come down the street and he would share the load, share the burden. To help you, you know, and now it would, like, you'd watch your neighbor's house burn down and grab a, you know, I'm not that I would, but I mean, I've seen this, you know, this disassociated, I don't care mentality where people would probably like, hey, where are the marshmallows? I mean, they probably wouldn't go get them, but they would make some half comment about it wouldn't lend a hand. They watch the show. And it's just so heartening to me when there's so many opportunities for us to support each other and to grow, you know, to grow. But it's divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And I'm sick of it. And I know you're sick of it. And I just hope that those listening are sick of it and that we're ready to rally together. You know, not to create a fuss, but to come together in love and community and say, we're going to support each other. No, we're not going to fight. We're going to pull each other up. You're on your journey wherever you are, you know, and the Bible tells us, guys, just to, if you forgot that we're not to judge our neighbors.
Yeah.
That's only God's judging. Mm-hmm. And the minute we start casting the stones, right? You better not have any that can be cast upon you. Mm-hmm. This isn't about making somebody wrong. Like, I'll tell you, I mean, if you look at my Facebook page, you're going to see that anybody who starts engaging or normalizing pedophilia, I'm going to have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably the one topic that I will not remain silenced, because our children need protection. Mm-hmm. They can't advocate for themselves. They can't protect themselves. They need community. They need support. They need love. They need guidance. They need to be heard and protected.
Yeah.
But anything else, like, that's between you and God. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, unless you're a cannibal, I might have something to say about it, because that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But,
I mean, really, that's your relationship with God and yours alone. I'm not going to come into that, because I'm not a part of that relationship, you know, but we need to come together and remember those of us who have good hearts, and we just trust each other on our journey. We trust God that he's going to lead people in their due time, you know, and if you see somebody who you think is totally not of God and they're not doing things right and they're on their deathbed, you don't know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. And it's not your business to know. That's their relationship between them and God. Stay out of it. Worry about your relationship with God. You know, that's the one that you better be really concerned about. Because guess what? Even if we bring 100 people into the presence of God and they decide that, you know, they're devoting their lives to God or rededicating their life to Jesus. Here's the thing. That doesn't count for you if you haven't developed a relationship with God, and it doesn't really get you in. You're not going to earn your way into heaven. Like you'll do it because you want to please him, but it's not going to get you through the door. You don't get VIP tickets. It doesn't work that way. Right.
Yeah.
We know that there's been some pretty corrupt, famous or infamous pastors and preachers of our day that we've seen do some pretty corrupt things or have some pretty corrupt lifestyles. And, you know, it's not going to do anybody any good, throw stones at them either, but we have to be discerning about who we're listening to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll say it this way. Like, I know a lot of people who have come to Jesus and later to find out that the people that brought them there were very corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So God will use everybody. So I'm not saying not to use them. I'm just saying, like, don't buy everything hook, line, and sinker, because we do live in a dual world and you want to make sure that you're plugged into God and not the false Memorex energy that surrounds us too. So what do you have to say about that? I'm going to give you the floor for the next 15, 20 minutes here, Corrine.
And, oh my.
Yeah.
Well, I think
I can't resist jumping in. So that.
Well, right. I guess, you know, kind of going back to what we were saying earlier with the New Age movement and everything. I, as you were talking before, I was thinking, you know, I can't help but thinking of this place, and it was in Milwaukee. And they were, when we walked in, my niece and I, we were kind of looking. That's when I did tarot cards. And when we talked about the different spiritual stuff. She was always, you know, had a lot of spiritual, I guess, gifts, if you'd want to call it. They're not gifts, but you know what I mean? Like she had a lot of stuff that she would get and it would come through. And I just remember walking into the store and I could feel the confusion. And I remember kind of going, wow, they were good people. Like you could tell that they were good people that really
What kind of store is this? I didn't catch
it. It was a New Age store. You know, they had tarot cards. So
traveled down to Milwaukee for something. Yeah. You went into this New Age store.
Yes, I went with my niece and we went in there, but I just remember feeling the confusion that was there. And I knew that these were people that were good hearted people. And I hope that they were brought back to God or brought, you know, where they could see, but there was so much confusion. And when we left the store, I said to my niece, I said, wow, I said that there was just the energy in there was just crazy. And I mean, confused was the biggest part. You could tell that they were doing witchcraft. They were playing with the different energies and they were playing with the different things. Like you knew they wanted and hoped that it was of God, yet they were playing in this field that they didn't understand or know what and who they were dealing with. And it was just this
what
really
I'm hearing
weird
is they were in that exploration.
Yeah.
Exploration.
Yes. And you could just feel the energy. And so that's one of the things to me that I think, I guess, plays at my heart is because I know the searching I did, trying to figure out what was the truth and not the truth, what was God, what was not God. Mm-hmm. You know, I had these gifts that have to be God, you know, that type of thing. Oh, yeah. And then trying to understand it. And trying to go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, I created my own oracle cards. I used to do the fair, mm-hmm. You know, there was a local fair. I mean, that's not even the only fair I did, but there was a local fair that I did every single year for years. You know, I developed and created my own oracle cards. I did a lot of past life readings for people. Mm-hmm. I used to teach access bars. I used to teach Reiki. I was a Reiki master. You know, I had all the certifications to do a lot of other modalities too, actually. And I did it all thinking that I was channeling this very beautiful energy and that it was the same as God, or it was the universal energy that came from the Godhead. And now I have different views upon that now, just based on my experience. And again, that blessing of discernment, I have a very different view. And, you know, I see what you're saying. Like, there's sometimes when people get so hungry, like we talked about, that when you're searching and that the light is beautiful, even when you're good, like you don't know that you're not tapped in to the right energy. And you're so focused on, sorry, the wind's blowing, so my shoulder keeps disappearing for whatever reason that's doing that. But they're during that searching, when they get so hungry, I feel like you're so distracted by the thirst of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes me think of like King Solomon, right? He was so mm-hmm. pure when, and God blessed him with wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But having that much knowledge made him corrupt, right? Or even go back to like Lucifer. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, how you were like the most beautiful, you know, but he was so beautiful and so talented, we'll say, you know, and you know, he was the orchestrator of music, and he did all these other wonderful things, that he became so prideful that it became corrupt. Wisdom corrupted Solomon, pride corrupted Lucifer, you know, David, lust corrupted David. You know, we have so many, 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 many examples in the Bible of people who, you know, justice corrupted Moses, right? You know, Paul, what happened with Paul, right? When he was still Saul, and he killed hundreds upon hundreds of Christians in the name of what? Righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have so many examples of the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like when you're talking about these people, like you had enough sensory intuition that you knew that there were spirits latching on everywhere, but they mm-hmm. were probably so distracted with that thirst to know more or to mm-hmm. experience more. I almost think it was experience.
For yeah. them, yeah.
That was the veil that kept them from seeing what you could see or feeling what you could feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was just interesting. But yeah, you look back at, you know, at our journeys, you know, that we had through it, and you look at some of the people who really have made a really good living at it. Recently, one that I had kind of followed, because she always had really good, beautiful things to say. And she, you know, she did a really good job of stuff, and she did feel good. However, now I look at her and go, wow, she was being fed all this wonderful stuff to get people to fall and follow her and follow that line of, you know, beautiful, lovey, whatever. But I've been recently getting her like coming up my phone, you know, like the little pings or whatever. And I'm just like, well, this is really interesting, because I haven't looked at anything from her in a long time. Well, all of a sudden she's popping up on my feeds and whatever.
So why do you think that was happening? Do you think it was to get more information? Were you getting like a sense that God was like, see how you can see her differently now?
Or? Well, I think it was kind of it felt like it was trying to be a distraction. Like there was something going, you know, hey, remember this, remember that, remember. And like, she was really,
yeah, remember the,
know,
easy button?
Easy button? She was,
when
she
all you was, had to do was shake the eight ball to know what you should do next.
And she right? was, yeah. And she was,
or read the cards to know.
Yeah.
I remember. She
felt, you know, at the time she felt pretty clean. And I do think that her heart was really in the pure space. It wasn't being fed the pure stuff. And it, you know what I mean? There is that deception that's there. And so, you know, I guess it was kind of a distraction and also kind of a reminder that, you know, even though something looks beautiful and wonderful and is, you know, it feels like it's in love, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is. It can be a deception or something to lead you astray from the true path, you know, because that's kind of what that was, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, Lucifer was the most beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of talents there that are very alluring, very, you know, witchcraft in itself, in its own right, it is very alluring. You know, it's got this sumptuous, temptuous drawing mm-hmm. energy that literally sucks you in, you know, like, but, you know, and I don't know, I'm glad you're not mentioning people because I don't want to go and poke at anyone.
Right.
I don't think that that's fair or accurate for us to do. Cause again, only person who can judge anybody is God.
Oh, right.
Yeah. When we use our, yeah, I know you agree with me, but you know, when we use our discernment and we can see this now, it's like, oh, we look back going, oh,
mm-hmm.
oh, now I see how come that happened. Now, whether that person is aware of it or not, it's not my concern. Again, that's between them and God. But it definitely mm-hmm. gives me an opportunity to activate my free will and choose, am I going to participate in this, you know, or am I going to say no, right? Because God mm-hmm. tells us that this is bad. You know, I didn't even know that we shouldn't be doing these things until I got into the Bible and started reading them and went, oh, this God's giving this as a big no. And it's so tempting because it's so, like, it's instant. We are such an instant gratification society. Like, I can't tell you like I quit smoking after smoking for 25 years. I'm 8 years of not smoking. Those first 2 years were really rough though. Now I look at a cigarette and it makes me want to puke thinking about someone couldn't pay me $1 million to smoke a cigarette. I don't think like so gross. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of it is those first couple years were hard. Like I had a craving. I wanted, like, I still craved it. And
yeah.
that was nothing compared to like going the new age, like that temptation of having easy. I remember the last deck I bought was this Russian tarot deck. And it was just so in depth. It was like so in depth. And I really liked it. Mm-hmm. It was so hard to give it up, you know, it was hard to let it go. It was very tempting to go back to what I knew. For mm-hmm. guidance. And again, I truly believe that I was getting my information from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I believed, like I prayed and I said, Lord, help me. But God tells us in the Bible, you can't go to another God's temple and pray for me. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I get so frustrated when I hear these people saying like they're, you know, yoga for Jesus or meditation for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys read the Bible because you can't do that. It doesn't work that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but maybe that's the path that they need to get on. Whoops, sorry, I just knocked my water bottle. Maybe that's the path that they need to get on to bring them around. You know, I know that I took a very interesting path to get back to God. So maybe that's their path. That's fine. You know, that's where they're at. But I certainly don't want to participate in it anymore. And I'm not going to acquiesce to anything mm-hmm. to support someone else's path. And I think that's where the society is kind of crossing a line a little bit, where everybody wants us to acquiesce
mm-hmm.
to whatever it is that they've decided is the correct path.
Yes.
And I, you know, that's just got to stop because it's not, they don't get to choose what I support. Or what I do.
Or what you feel.
Choose, like, like they don't get to get me to agree with them just because that's where they are on their journey.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we've really been assaulted the worst is that, you know, again, this mass hypnosis, all of this PC environmental, you know, and not that we shouldn't be nice to our fellow men, but again, going back to the people, most of us have a good heart and we're going to do it anyway.
Right.
And the fact that we do have a good heart and people tell us we don't, we felt bad about it. And that's when we started to acquiesce. So that's the trap that we got into
that
caused a lot of the problems in the first place. And just saying, instead of saying, no, thank you, you know, and I remember, there was a class that I was a part of. And this is even back when I was doing New Age stuff. There's a class that I was a part of that was all the different nice ways to say no without having to just say no. Because sometimes for people pleasers, that's really hard, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I told you I'd go on a tangent or two. It's so easy because, you know, we talk like this pretty daily.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you couldn't keep your mouth shut for 15 to 20 minutes.
No, that's why I pick the right way to go. I get to talk and talk and talk on a podcast. Oh, you're so funny. Anyway, I'll let you get away with this. What are your thoughts on that, Corey? Like,
I totally got distracted by what we were just talking about. But as far as that, not allowing people to decide your thoughts and your feelings. I mean, that's part of the whole stand up, you know, the whole patriot movement that's going on in the US too, is standing up. And you can tell people, you can, you know, it's really kind of sad, but you can go out in public and you can kind of tell who's going to stand up and who is going to acquiesce and who is going to go, okay, I'm a bad white female because you said I was. And so therefore, instead of like going, wait, no, I know me and that's not.
But I think that's where I want to reach out to people and be like, hey, you know what? The reason you feel bad is because you're a good person.
Yeah.
You know? And it's okay that you feel bad because you don't want people, you know, you don't want anybody to be set aside. You don't want anybody to be having to deal with prejudice, racism, exclusions of any kind because you feel bad, because you feel shame, because you're questioning yourself. You know, it's kind of like that same mindset of if you're questioning your sanity, chances are you're sane. Because a really insane person never questions their sanity.
Yeah, yeah, very true.
You know, if you're a good person and you're questioning whether you're a good person, hey, that's a great sign.
Yeah.
You're a pretty good person. So you can kind of give yourself a little bit of leeway here and not feel like, oh, I have to do better, you know? You know, and a lot of times that's a trauma response too, by the way. We're going back to that, you know, free is flight, freeze, fawn, I just lost it. Fight, freeze, fawn. I lost it. Oh my gosh, that is so crazy. But anyway, like when you're a people pleaser, you know, you usually have a tendency to acquiesce. You have a tendency to go out of your way to make everyone else feel comfortable. You have a tendency to take the burden of blame. And so, again, just for the listeners who are thinking to themselves, like, oh my gosh, like, you're a good person. It's okay. And it's okay to have healthy boundaries, to set personal standards for yourself. Like, yes, we need to treat other people with kindness and respect, but you get the same virtues. You get to be treated the same way.
Yes.
Like this isn't equal. You know, you want people to feel equal. That includes you. You're in the peopleship too. You know, we don't put ourselves in a martyr position or lower our standing in society to, again, acquiesce for someone else. We're here to like draw us all closer. Again, I will beat this drum forever. We have to work on community because when we do that, we hold everybody up.
Yes.
Holding all of ourselves up. And when one person gets weak, we pick them up. When one person gets too high, we celebrate their wins. But when they get haughty or prideful, we say, hey, you can come back down here with the rest of us, you know? And it's okay to say that. It's not shaming or racism. We're just creating a family beyond it's an extended family when you have a good community, you know? It's,
yeah.
Is there going to be dysfunction? Well, is there dysfunction in family? Yeah, there's always going to be until there's healing. We can't have healing if we're all triggered and in this trauma response. We don't have the healing show up until we get to the point where we're in a community that we're supporting each other. And again, we bring it right back to part one, Corey, when we first started, we support each other like we do to for each other, you know.
Yeah.
The healing didn't really begin with either one of us until we, you know, God brought together two people who are genuinely interested in seeing people healthy and happy. And because he brought us together, we both healed and grew.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You know, so if your community just starts with a trusted friend who it's simpatico, right? It's not a one-way relationship because those don't work either. You get drained out, you get used and betrayed, and then the cycle starts all over again.
Been there.
Yeah, I think everyone's experienced that nightmare.
Yeah.
But you know, this is the time to go and if you don't have those people in your life, as we wrap up here, we need to pray, God, bring me the people who I can trust and love and support. Bring me the people who are going to trust and love and support me, you know, pray God. And if, so do you have final thoughts before? Cause I'm going to probably go into a prayer right now.
Well, that was the prayer that I prayed when I started going through the awakening. I'm like, God, I need somebody who I can trust. Who do I trust? I don't know who to talk to about this stuff. I don't know where to go. You know, I tried, and I think I talked about this on the podcast. I tried going to a priest and he had no clue and he couldn't help me. And it's like, okay, so then where do I go? Who do I talk to? You know, I didn't feel real comfortable talking to people who were in the New Age because it's like, I don't know. I know that there was a lot of bad stuff there. So it's like, you know, where do you go? So I prayed long and hard, and God brought all these different people in, and they weren't perfect. None of them were perfect, but they all taught me something. I learned something from every one of them. And so I'm very grateful. And, that's the beauty of it too, is just because somebody isn't like walking the path of God, God's got his hand on every one of us, and there are things that they're going to say or do, and that their path may have, you know, God here, but they don't 100% understand it because there's other stuff going on here, but there is stuff that they can bring to the table. And so you don't just dismiss somebody out of hand because they're not, you know, of pure God, because I mean, geez, along my path, that's where I learned a lot from all different people.
Me too. So I agree with that. Wholeheartedly, God will use everybody to get you where you're going. He just needs you to be willing. You know, even if you've never known God, if you've never had God in your life, but you're curious, pray, you know, Father Jesus, show me who you are. You know, let me get to know you before I decide I don't want you. Like, wow me. Share with me who you are, surprise me, delight me. You know, I prayed that all the time. Like, just show me, and I would see miracles in nature. I would see beautiful things around me. And then I thought, well, this is great, but I'm observing, but it's not happening to me personally. So then I started praying, God, you know, change me, like bring me a miracle. Like, show me that you love me so much that you're going to put your hand on my life, right? So we're just going to end in prayer because we're way over again. So Father God, we just thank you in Jesus' name for everything that you do for us, for everywhere that you've touched us, everywhere that you've kept your hand on us through this journey where we have been lost sheep, one of the 99, or one of the 100 and the 99 that left. I'm getting it all wrong. I'm so tired. So God, please thank you. Please and thank you for, even though we were the one that left the herd of the 99 behind, you came and got us to bring us back. You make us whole again. You brought us back. Thank you, God, for always leaving the rest and pursuing us and coming for us and chasing us down, no matter how far away we got, no matter where we went. We just thank you, God. We know you're the Alpha and the Omega, and you know the beginning and the end. And we are so grateful that you trusted that we would find our way back to you. And we thank you for everywhere you left breadcrumbs, everywhere that you blessed us, everywhere that you kept us safe, everywhere that you turned us a corner when the other corner was surely death. And we just thank you, Lord. And we just ask for you now, for all the listeners who are questioning who you are, we just ask you now to give them a miracle. Show them that you exist. Show them the beauty. Show them the real presence of you. If they don't really truly understand who you are, we just ask you to wow them, God, with your true presence. We ask you now, God, to just send laborers so that they can hear from them, that they can receive from the people who just know you and love you, so that they can connect to the truth that is you, and so that they can start developing a deeper relationship and grow with you, God, because we know that you have so many gifts to bestow on us, so many promises that you'd like to give us. You are a good father who has just a basket full of blessings for us, and we are excited for them. And we know that we can't receive them until we've fully submitted and trusted in you, and that you give us like bursts of opportunities and bursts of gifts, but the true abundance, the true wealth that exists not only here in this embodiment, but in heaven. We know, God, that you have so much ready for us and are just excited, anticipating so that you could share them with us, God. And we just thank you for that. And we ask you to please send the angels and laborers to help us to get to the place where we can fully receive you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Thanks again, Corinne. Thanks for joining me. This was a lot of fun. You could definitely tell like it was a lot harder to herd cats when you and I are around. We could go on and on and on. So, but thank you guys. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll do this again, Corinne. And if listeners, good. If you got any questions for us, put them in the comments. We'll answer them. And until next time.
Bye.
Bye.